look at the obstacles this guy's got to climb. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I had fresh legs. How do you like that? Classic Sage. I'm not stopping. I'm like Devin White. I want to keep getting better. Get on their ass.
You know, wisdom prevails.
That's the story of this training camp. Yay.
All right, Buccaneers fans, here we are. Here he is, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, where he is headed next week with all the big Buccaneers dignitaries. He is Ira Kaufman. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. You can't miss them. 1 mile north of the lighthouse, GM Sean Sullivan, ready to take your phone calls, ready to take your emails, ready to help you personally. For anyone who may have reached out or popped in, you know, we should have made an announcement that Sean was going on vacation a little bit. He usually lives there at all times, but I understand that this was the time for him to go get a little break. But Bill Curry Ford is always there for you. Family owned, 61 years. They care about customers in every possible way, Ira. Bill Curry Ford, are you still driving that cherry red Ford Escape around, Ira?
Loving every minute of it, Isbits. Every minute. That's BillCurryFord.com, gentlemen.
Sage, you've been buzzing around training camp. The fans are fired up. The ones that are actually out there, as you so smartly predicted that it would die out quickly, and the Bucs aren't letting the average Joes in, so a lot of empty seats. You've been buzzing around training camp. Ira, any impressions? Bruce Arians is happy. He's loving his effort. He's loving his second team. He loves everything. What do you think?
We were given the privilege of going into the indoor facility, and he had a good bird's eye view of the practice at that point. And I got to tell you, and I don't think this is surprising to anybody, but at this point, I think the defense is way ahead of the offense, in my opinion. A lot of poor passes, a lot of tipped balls, a lot of dropped balls. Mike Evans looks very, very good. Tim Brown.
Who?
Antonio Brown.
I thought you were leading us to some one-liner here. Like,
I certainly wouldn't consider a borderline Hall of Fame player as a breakout player, but he looked great, and he could have a big year, especially if Evans or Godwin go down for, and God forbid, but if they go down for any length of time, Brown's ready to step in and do a job. But, you know, I'm looking at Trask, Steve. I'm looking at Trask, and you know, look, this doesn't mean that the kid's not going to have a bright future in this league. But, you know, at this point, Ryan Griffin looks better. And no surprise there. Griffin is very familiar with this offense. Trask is not. So he's struggling. You know, this defense looks very strong, Steve. Very, very strong. Coach Rapone, The Rock out there. Kevin Ross at the secondary playing very aggressively. So going inside, I thought gave us a very good end zone view as the plays were coming right towards us. Another thing I noticed, Steve, was Ryan Jensen was given a load management day off, as were all the people. And lo and behold, Steven, who comes in to do the center chores, but Mr. Hainsey, the third-round pick. And I don't think that's an accident, Steve. I know he's going to train at all kinds of positions, but just looking ahead, Jensen could be a free agent, 2022, you never know. They may try to make a move where Hainsey goes from tackle to center. They've done it before, Steve, with varying degrees of success. Keep your eye on this Hainsey kid.
Well, Hainsey said the other day, guys, that he is training primarily at center, but really only at center, but he said that the catch there is that at center, you have to learn everybody's position, and therefore he feels like his training at center will let him walk in at guard or tackle immediately as needed. You know, he's got a lot of confidence, and who knows, Ira, but hopefully we don't see the guy play for a long, long time, except for a million snaps in the preseason. That's the goal. That's where we're focused. Ira, 40 days, Lee, 40 days or so till opening day. You know, everybody looks sharp. Arians is happy all over the place. I mean, this is going to be a very interesting challenge for him to just manage the team to get them just right to opening day. And already guys are getting load management days, Ira, whatever that means. And yet Arians did. Arians did say he's going to beat the crap out of them this training camp. Guys are getting days off. I understand it. I get it all. But what should Bucs fans think?
Well, despite all the talk, Lee, of a brutal training camp, Arians is smarter than that. You're not going to wear out Rob Gronkowski, Lee, and Jason Pierre-Paul and the Ndamukong Suh, and most of all, Tom Brady, Lee, in the dog days of August. That doesn't make any sense, Lee. They don't have anything to prove. You know, let the kids grind. Let the kids sweat. You want these guys fresh when the Cowboys come into town, and Brady and Gronkowski can exploit a what appears to me to be a very lousy Cowboys defense. And let's have them fresh, September 9th. That's what I'm worried about. So, Lee, all the chatter. I'm going to be all over these guys during training camp. You know, wisdom prevails, Lee. Arians is a smart guy. He's been around a long time. And if he had any intentions, Lee, of wearing these guys out, there's Tom Moore to calm Arians down. And I don't think Arians has any such thoughts. But it's nice to be able to bounce things off Tom Moore between them. Lee, they've been to about 80 training camps.
Yeah, that's a lot. I think snap counts are a major issue because let's remember, these guys played 20 games. Very short offseason because they played longer than anybody but the Chiefs. And, oh, by the way, here comes a 17-game schedule. Lavonte David was top five linebacker in snaps. And let's remember, he's not 25 anymore.
Yeah, I believe
that. So I'm really more than concerned. I'm afraid that's going to catch up with him come November. And guess what happens when guys play and they're worn out? Get injured. I sure hope I'm dead wrong about that. Not predicting that. That worries me. Although the Bucs have stars that are young, they also have stars who are over 30, if not 40. And so I think they really got to worry about the snap counts.
You know, Steve, I'll tell you who got a workout. Joe Tryon. Joe Tryon got a workout. Lined up mostly right defensive end. They moved him inside on a few plays. Interesting. You know, they do like to cross-train these guys. But every time I looked up, there was Joe Tryon out there. And that's good. He looks healthy, Steve. That's the important point. Steve, one more thing. When I got out there, my good buddy Jarrett Bell, longtime veteran writer from USA Today, longtime Pro Football Hall of Fame selector, and he's made his presentations in the past too. He was out there, and he's been here a couple of days, Steve. So I happen to say to him, you know, just looking out on the field, I go, boy, this team's loaded. This team is loaded. Just wanted to see what Bell says. Good to get an outside opinion. He goes, right you are, Ira. And then he goes immediately, Steve. He goes, look at wide receiver. This is absurd. This is ridiculous. He mentioned Scotty Miller as, you know, maybe the number four guy, if you want to count Antonio Brown as the third guy. He says, I like the rookie they had last year, not to mention Darden. Steve, look at this receiver core. I hate to feed DeKemper a perfect line, but like, why are you handing the ball off at all? Now I'm starting to understand where DeKemper's coming from. And that's not even counting the tight end, Steve. I mean, this is a ridiculous depth at the wide receiver position.
Real quick, when Ira said earlier when he watched today's practice that the defense had the offense, Ira, I think this slipped his mind, and I just want to make sure that we're all clear about this. In case some fans are like, oh my God, the defense is dominating Tom Brady. He's throwing batted balls. Brady had the day off.
He had
a Veterans Day. Or, in other words, take a load off. Like, you know, that's my load manager. Take a load off. So it was Gabbert, it was Griffin, it was Kraft. Those were the guys throwing. So you would hope the defense would look better. Yeah, and they did. But this Darden, every practice he looks just a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. And today, he looked every bit the type of receiver that ought to be on the field. And if I'm Justin Watson, I'm sweating right now. And it's not because I was outside yesterday. I think he's in very deep, deep feces as far as job security with the Bucs. This Darden's getting a lot of snaps, and he's starting to demonstrate that he deserves those snaps. He's earning those snaps. And he's catching balls in traffic now and scoring touchdowns against first-team defense, same first-team defense that absolutely stifled. That's my favorite, our All in the Family line, by the way, Ira. Stifled the Chiefs. Stifled Pat Mahomes and Cheetah Hill. Underwear football is not football. The pads are not on. This is flag football without the flags. They can't hit anybody. You know, once they start hitting people, if Darden gets popped a couple times when the pads come on, he might look completely different. Kenny Bell says hi. So I don't want to get ahead of myself with Darden, but thus far, what Arians has talked up Darden about seems like he's got some valid ammunition there.
Lee's point, I think he's on to something. I think they're quietly, and maybe not so quietly, within the confines of one buck, very enthused about this Darden kid. Anybody that's going to battle him for a final roster spot or something has to realize Darden could be a big factor on special teams. And who mentioned special teams more than anybody? Arians does. Now, I'm not saying this guy is going to get 40 targets this year at receiver. Look at the obstacles this guy's got to climb. I mean, it's ridiculous. Antonio Brown, the third receiver on a team. Scotty Miller, who made some of the biggest catches of the year. Fourth guy. It's going to be a problem for Darden to get on the field as a receiver. But I'd be shocked if he doesn't make this team, Steve.
Well, look, going to Scotty Miller, and I think it's important to note, everything you said, you're on the money. You look at Scotty Miller, though, and you realize that, okay, this guy is a proven, legitimate, dangerous deep threat. You can't deny that. He's done it in big games. He's done it in big moments, and he did it all throughout the season. And Miller had off-season surgery on a groin that he said was bugging him all year. He's one of the fastest players in the league. Antoine Randle-L, before he left to go coach with the Lions, made it very clear that he's the fastest guy on the team. And more important, Tom Brady has extreme trust in the guy. So when you look at those first four receivers, and then you look at Tyler Johnson, who they like, who's also, you know, they expect to make that second year leap, and he's made some big plays, not a ton of them, but he's been out there in big moments. Darden probably doesn't even get the ball at all as a receiver this year. But it comes back to that special teams, Ira. And I asked Arians about that. Said, hey, you know, the draft, the offseason was very much about special teams. Is that showing up for you yet? Are you seeing what you were looking to see? He didn't say yes. What did he do, Ira? He went right to the preseason games. He said that we'll see it in preseason. Extra emphasis this year for Arians on the preseason, which, of course, it's where those special teams guys figure out whether they're worth a crap. And, of course, if Darden drops a couple of punts in preseason, well, all of a sudden, the whole shadow of every coach at one buck will fly over him as a dark cloud. But, yeah, it's exciting. The depth is just crazy. And I'm glad a guy like Jarrett Bell, who sees the whole league and has that long-time perspective, sees the exact same thing. It's ridiculous out there.
Yeah, Lee, he was very quick, Arians, to say that the competition in the special teams is it's ferocious. And he said it with a twinkle in his eye. He loves it. I asked him about complacency through four practice days. He said not a shred, zero, nothing. I think that's very good news for Buck fans. And, you know, I'm not overly worried about complacency at this point, Lee. You know why? Because they got number 12. And here I go with Brady again. Yes, here I go with Brady again, Lee, for a reason. The guy sees everything. The guy watches everything. Nothing gets past the man. And I don't care if it's the fourth string cornerback. If Brady sees a problem, he's either going to talk to a coach about it or he's going to go directly to the player. And I don't have a problem with that, Lee.
Oh, no, not, absolutely not. I totally agree. If you see something wrong, don't let it fester. Does anybody have more street cred on the Bucks than Brady? They shouldn't. They shouldn't. You know, I was talking with, and I don't want to mention his name because obviously he did not expect our conversation to be used in a public forum, but there's a local photojournalist of a network affiliate in Tampa. I was talking to him today, and I mentioned something to him about Brady, and he looks at me and goes, "We know who runs the show here."
Ira?
Oh, no, not Ira. Ira.
Steve, I want to make one more point, and I thought about this today. Tell me if I'm wrong, gentlemen. Tell me if I'm wrong. It's a very chilling thought. I'm thinking I might go through another season without ever having a real conversation with Tom Brady. I mean, this is crazy. Now, look, I know this is very unusual circumstances, but The guy's been here a year and a half, and I'm thinking I could go another half a year without ever having a conversation with maybe the best player at his position of all time. That makes no sense to me, gentlemen. It's crazy. Crazy.
Ira, let me answer that for you, okay? Tom Brady doesn't want to talk to you. He doesn't want to talk to any of the local media. He doesn't want to do a local radio show. He doesn't want to do a local TV news thing. He doesn't want to do that. Period. End of story. And no one at One Buck is going to make him do it. No one's going to encourage him to do it. He's going to do what he wants. They want him as happy as possible, so he stays as long as possible. And that's just the reality of a living legend coming to town who really isn't interested in anything that doesn't sort of fit his calculated image and his brand and all that kind of stuff. So it's no slight on you, Ira. It's just what Tom Brady wants, and that's it. One thing that's very noticeable through training camp so far, very, very noticeable. You guys all know that the Buccaneers are one of the first teams to start camp because they have the early game. The Hall of Fame game teams were starting early, so was Dallas a little bit. But we have not seen one national interview through 4 days of training camp from a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Not a coach. You know how many requests must have come in for Bruce Arians. Not a player. Nothing. I haven't seen a local radio interview of a player. There's something going on at One Buck where they want to squeeze out as much media as possible to try to avoid all the Super Bowl questions, maybe keep all of that chatter at bay, let people start to forget about it, let the players focus. Something's going on, Ira. I know it's weird for you that Tom Brady, starting quarterback, hasn't had a news conference at training camp. Usually that would happen first or second day. In the old days, or not even very old days, a quarterback would speak. But it's a new day in Tampa Bay as far as the way the team wants to control outside influences, at least early.
I can't remember any NFL team. Any NFL team. Even if your quarterback is Mike Glennon, or worse, Stuart McClown. I cannot remember any quarterback, a starting quarterback of an NFL team, the first week of training camp, not doing a press conference. I mean, my gosh, even Andy Dalton's doing a press conference. Andy Dalton. He may not even have a job in 3 weeks. But you bring up, Steve, about the national recognition, that's going to change real quick. And 13 people from the NFL Network are going to be at One Buck on Saturday. 13. That's pretty heavy representation. So all kinds of guys are going to get their interviews, their profiles, including Mr. Brady. Here's a prediction for you, Ira. Brady's first press conference will actually be a sit-down live on the NFL Network on the practice fields of One Buck Palace.
I don't think you're wrong, Lee.
What Steve was saying, that Brady doesn't want to do local radio interviews and Brady doesn't want to do a local radio show, and we all three of us know a guy that has tried and has negotiated with Brady's people to do business with Brady. Brady very much wants to do a local radio show. Brady very much wants to do various appearances. But Brady very much wants to get paid for that. So in reality, it's the local radio stations and the local TV stations and what have you who don't want to cut a check.
Or not a big enough check, Lee. Not a big
ding,
enough
ding,
check.
Ding, 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 ding.
Excellent qualification there. Yeah, Brady is happy to do some things if he's getting paid. And, we know the rate is absolutely astronomical. Ira, true story. I have a buddy of mine who had a roof inspection, found out in that inspection that he's had a leak probably going on for quite a while, had no evidence of it in the house, but poof, now he's got mold. And he was talking to the roofer. I just happened to talk to him at the right time. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to have to call my insurance company." I'm like, "Whoa, call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately." Licensed mold remediation specialists, family owned in the Tampa Bay area. Don't mess around. Call them right away, 24/7. And they are going to get out to your home for a free assessment and work with you with your insurance company if you need that guidance, because insurance companies will rip you off and they will misdirect you, and it's a mess. Florida's Elite Restoration is there for all of our listeners, Ira. We've said it so many times, You've sent lots of people there. You know customers. I know too. And bottom line, that's where you go for any disaster in your home. Fire, you come home and you've got a flood in your house and you know something's going to be brewing and you've got damage already that's visible. Florida's Elite Restoration.com, and you can bookmark it and put it on your fridge, and you got it when you need it. Put it in your phone, but call them 24/7. Josh Martin and his crew, they're local, they're family owned, but they're big enough and established enough to take care of you right with the best technology. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, something very interesting happened today, and I'm debating doing this with you, Ira, next time we sit down for your annual review of your performance. Todd Bowles, it was revealed by Devin White, Todd Bowles, before anybody took the field this year, got on the field, Todd Bowles, in front of the entire defense, went down the line, according to Devin White, and identified every weakness of each player individually, told them in front of the group, and said, this is what you need to work on. And that's how he started to get them motivated and humble and all aware of what's going on and to keep them focused. What do you think of that?
I think it's all part of the same cloth. I really do. And I think it goes right there with Arians opening his first thing with an opening statement. He doesn't do that. First three words, don't ask me. Lee, when you're the defending Super Bowl champions, which is a position every team wants to be in, but when you're in that position, as are the 2021 Bucks, you don't approach training camp like it's just another training camp. You're doing yourself a disservice. The sense of accountability has to be heightened. You got to stamp out any smugness, self-assuredness. We've been there. We climbed a mountain. We got this. That's what it's all about. These coaches talk amongst each other, Lee, before these players ever reported. How are we going to approach this? What's our general approach? Well, Lee, I think from Arians on down to Bowles, and I think we'll see it with Leftwich, get on their ass. Get on their ass. And that doesn't mean beat them down, but just don't let them get full of themselves. That's the story of this training camp, Lee, is this attempt by this entire organization to stay focused. Keep the focus on getting better.
Steve's story about Bowles, you know what that reminded me of, Ira? You'll love this. Because he's one of your buddies. Remind me of Mike Tomlin when Dungy first brought him to Tampa. Mike Tomlin was trying to figure out a way, okay, how do I get guys like John Lynch and Rondé Barber, how do I gain their respect? I'm just some guy from college. I've never coached in the NFL. How do I gain their respect? And so he thought one way was to make a, you know, after he poured over the tape of Rondé and who was the guy from USC, the other corner?
Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly, obviously MVP Dexter Jackson, the good Dexter Jackson, and no less of an authority than John Lynch. He went each one of them after he studied all the film, and he made a list what they need to do to improve. Everybody. Lynch, Jackson, Barber, everybody. Brian Kelly, all of them. So Lynch says, Mike Tomlin comes up and goes, okay, I've been pouring over the tape. Here are some things I think that can make you an even better Pro Bowl player. And Lynch thought to himself, who the hell's this guy? He's from college. He doesn't know. And he threw the paper to the side. Then later, his curiosity got the better of him, started looking at it like, this guy's onto something. So he started working on the things that Tomlin had listed. And sure enough, Lynch was playing better, making more plays. Instant respect. He's like, this guy's on to something. This guy's right. And obviously to this day, they're very tight friends. But they didn't start off too well because Lynch was actually, who are you to tell me I need to work on this? You've never even worked in the NFL before.
Steve, what's different about this one with Bowles is he did it publicly, not to the media, but in front of other players. And normally you don't do that. Normally, you know, when you're going to pick apart somebody and list strengths and weaknesses, you do it in an individual conversation. Interesting that Bowles made a determined decision to do each guy in front of the whole team. Interesting, Steve.
Very interesting, Ira. You need to write some better leads next year. I want to see some tighter tighter paragraphs, also a little more energy in your podcasting, Ira. You know, you're very good, but you only get a 96%, so you gotta step it up.
I'll work on it, baby. I'll work on it, Coach. I'll work on it.
There you go. Ira, I got to say this, and I wrote this. It's just my own personal feeling, but I wonder, I didn't hear a lot of fans disagree, and maybe it's tied to the attendance a little bit, which has been down at $1, but that could be a function of them only doing invited guests. Regardless, I feel this training camp, and I'm not dampening enthusiasm. I'm fired up for the season, but I just feel like there are no job competitions. We all know that every starter is good. There's no Caleb Benenock out there or anybody that you're really worried about. Oh, how's Sabby Piscatelli going to improve this year? Or
I thought I saw EJ Biggers wandering outside the fence. Does that count?
I got you. And, you know, there's no free agent coming in for a starting gig like there is really every single other season where you got to wonder, is this guy going to fit in? Is he cashing a paycheck? Michael Johnson, what's he going to do? And there's literally no competition, even though Arians is raving about competition. He's talking about competitiveness. There's no competition. There's no, like, who's going to win a job. There's a little, but not much, really. And there's not even a kicker battle. Every other year we had kicker intrigue, including last year. No more kicker intrigue at all. And, you know, we're waiting for September 9th, where the whole town's going to explode. It'll be nice to watch a preseason game just to see these guys line up a little bit. But that really loses its luster. There's no first look at somebody in preseason other than Joe Tryon, which, you know, he's still the number 32 overall pick, and it's not somebody they're relying heavy on. I just feel like training camp just isn't, it's a Super Bowl training camp. I feel like a Patriots fan.
And that's a very interesting, it's an interesting observation, and I think Lee will back me up here in terms of we've been to a lot of Buck training camps, and Lee, even from a fan perspective, maybe because these are season pass members, maybe, but Lee, even the enthusiasm from the bleachers, I think it's been diminished from past years. I do. Now, you know, if Evans holds in a 40-yard catch, underwear football, you might hear people applaud. But, Lee, generally speaking, the energy from the crowd, I think's been a little bit missing, too. Look, I think Buck fans would much rather have it this way, where 22 starters are back and your only real competition might be, you know, between Fournette and Jones. And besides, they're both going to play. It's not like one guy's going to get cut or something.
Right.
They're both going to play. So, Lee, it is what it is. When you get 22 starters back from a Super Bowl, the competition is dampened. The rookies are not expected to contribute immediately to a great degree. And you got season pass members instead of the rank and file. It's kind of subdued out here, Lee. There's no question about it.
There was a couple practices early in the week, and I even referred to it on Twitter. I can't remember what day. And it was a sparse crowd because, again, unless you're a season ticket holder or belong to a special interest group, you're not wanted at $1 place. They don't want you there. There was only a couple hundred people there this day I'm talking about. But I remember the noise they were making. They were noisy. So there was some enthusiasm there. It wasn't loud because of the number of people, but they were noisy. Every other play you heard hollering or cheering or, hey, I don't care if I tick off some of the Bucks about this. I'm going to be a freaking parrot about this. It is shameful that your loyal Bucks fans who stuck by you, couldn't afford season tickets, they stuck by you through a whole decade of friggin' god-awful football, just irresponsible defense. If you would have slapped someone in the face, you couldn't have insulted them anymore. Just brutal football. Losing after losing after losing. Couldn't win a freaking home game to save your life. And all of a sudden you start winning. And all of a sudden you start selling out. Now you don't need those same fans. That's bordering on hypocrisy to me. I think that's shameful. And damn it, Bucks, you still got time to rectify this. Don't give me this crap.
I love the Kemper's passion, Steve. I also love the fact that we are the only media organization, and the Kemper's our lead voice on this, and I give him credit. We're the only media organization in town that would dare question anything about what's going on at training camp. I mean, I don't hear a peep from anybody else about the rank and file Buck fans, Steve. No, nobody cares. Nobody notices. I say, let's keep doing what we're doing.
They got plenty of time to fix it. It's not that hard to figure out a process whereby you could tell, hey, we're going to let 100 people line up. And after a certain amount of time, if the reserve seats aren't taken, we're going to start letting people in. And it's just not that complicated at all.
Have someone on IT put in a form on Buccaneers.com. Fill out the form. Come pick up your pass. It's not really that difficult.
Yeah, it's just not that complicated. Sage, I got to ask you this, but first I got to remind everybody to visit BuildCurryFord.com. C-U-R-R-I-E. That's the last name, the Curry family name. BuildCurryFord.com. Mile north of the stadium.
Steve, I got a story for you. I believe day three was the day it was just ungodly hot. It may have been the hottest day I ever dealt with in Florida. You know, the sun beats me up so bad, I got to basically wear a burka out in the sun. Usually I sit in the bleachers where it's covered, but because of the virus, can't do that now. I barely got to my truck. I was absolutely, completely, totally out of it. I get in my truck, I crank up the AC. I was like, I'm going to Bill Curry Ford. I'll talk to Sean, give him an update, maybe do my practice notes from there. I show up, not knowing Sean's on a vacation. And one of the guys at the front counter, the front desk, when I walk in, the guy says, hey, Joe.
Nice. Yeah, well, there you go. Proper greeting, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, I got to ask you this, because you're the sage. We need some sage wisdom. I don't know. I'm not really sure, because I've never really dealt covering a Buccaneers team coming off a Super Bowl. Now, the question for you, Ira, is that everyone from Vita Vea to Rob Gronkowski going out of their way, especially Vea, but really all of them, to say a lot of good things about Joe Tryon. Vea saying he's really explosive, really athletic. Now, I understand they went to the same college. I get all that. But, you know, there's a lot of people raving about Tryon. There's no pads on yet. You know, doesn't mean that he can handle having a tackle punch him in the chest off the whistle. We don't know any of those things yet. But do you think that these veterans who are praising Tryon, are they just stroking the guy? You know, just to try to build his confidence? Are they being honest? Or if they didn't really think much of him, you know, if he was Gaines Adams-ish coming out right out of the gate, would they just sort of throw a bunch of cliches out there? I'm hearing a lot of what feels like honest praise of Joe Tryon. I just don't know, Ira, if a Super Bowl team filled with veterans, guys who have done it at the highest level, if they would stroke a rookie like this if they didn't believe it.
Steve, I'm gonna slightly disagree with you on this one. I would not read too much into it. First and foremost, the pads haven't come on yet. That's number one. And I said it before, DeKemper can get in here and say it. Let's not read too much into the first 4 days of a soft training camp to this point. Number two, I think they're just trying to be good teammates, and I don't blame them. But Lee, talking about Joe Tryon 4 days into a padless training camp is hardly the same thing as Ryan Jensen sitting 5 feet away from me and comparing Tristan Wirfs to Aaron Donald in terms of being an elite among the elites after seeing the guy play 20 games against NFL competition. No comparison. So in terms of, you know, what are you going to believe? You know, how much credit should you ascribe to somebody's comments? I'm going to tell Steve to cool it a little bit. I think these guys are just trying to be good teammates. I don't think you can read much into Joe Tryon, positive or negative, at this point. I just don't. I don't think so.
I agree with both of you. Here's how I can get around that. I don't think they'd be slurping the guy this bad just because he's a rookie. However, there's no way you'd be objective and say, he's the real deal when the pads haven't come on yet. The players, you got to remember, players are not objective, nor are coaches. And I don't expect them to be. They don't think like us. They actually get insulted when people say, this guy may not be good. What do you mean he may not be good? You know, coaches and personnel people take it as a personal attack on them. But you're just being honest when you say, well, let's wait a minute here. But I think both of you guys are right. I think the players may see something in him that, okay, I think the most objective thing I heard a player say about Tryon, you know, he has the tools. If he didn't have the tools, he probably wouldn't be a first-round pick.
All right, so, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. So I think that's what it is. I think it could be both. Both you guys are right.
Yeah, I was just looking for Ira's opinion there. Wasn't really making a bold statement. Just wanted to get the Sage's take from all his 73 years covering the NFL. Ira, no, seriously, Ira, I was listening to Peter King's podcast the other day, just a little, of course, because I can't handle much Peter King. But I did hear him say that this is his 38th year covering the NFL. And I heard Peter King say that, and he was sort of put on his waxing sage tone or whatever he does. And I'm like, ah, you got nothing on the Sage, big guy.
Absolutely right. I predate him, I believe, by 4 or 5 years. 1979, Lee's heard it before. I remain the only man that's ever covered Phil Sims and Chris Sims. Nobody's ever going to beat that record, gentlemen. Nobody's going to beat it. 79 Giants. So, you know, that's 42 years, guys. 42 years, give or take. Seen a lot of bad Bucs football since 85. No question about it. Steve, one more thing on the Tryon thing. You know, looking back at all the training camps that all three of us have covered, I think it's safe to say, Lee, when you ask a veteran about a rookie, it immediately puts him in a tough spot, Lee.
That's true.
And in all of our experiences, I don't think we could ever say that a veteran has ever, you know, bad-mouthed a rookie, and even to be lukewarm on a rookie, that doesn't look good. Doesn't look good.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to take that in context.
It's interesting, Ira. I think a veteran, though, I'll say, I think they can easily say, hey, we see him working hard. And, you know, when the pads come on and preseason lights come on, we'll get a good look. We'll know what he's all about. He's got a lot to prove. Yeah. He could always say, you know, hey, he's got a lot to prove, like everybody on this roster did when they got in the league. You know, I'm not hearing that, though.
Yeah, yeah. You could say he's working hard, and leave it at that. Yeah,
he is quick. There's no question about it. He is. He's got a burst. When he gets past the blocker, now granted, you know, underwear football, they can't really block. But once he gets past the guy, boom, he takes off. Now there was one play I saw yesterday. I thought it was kind of funny. Some scrub tight end from USC, not exactly tight end. He tried to block Tryon. He was picking grass out of his face mask when it was all over.
Steve, correct me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
Did my man Devin White suggest that he's a better pass rusher than JPP and Shaq Barrett, Steve?
Oh, yeah. Let me get to that, Ira. But I did realize I forgot to let everybody know that Big Storm Brewery Clearwater, because, hey, we mentioned the Dallas game, the season's here. That is where the Sage will be watching every Bucs road game with fans sitting on the beautiful outdoor patio. And Ira, I was very impressed when we were there the other day at Big Storm Brewery and you were drinking bay beer and eating mahi tacos. The server came up to you and said, no name. He didn't address you by name or anything like that. He said, hey, are you doing watch parties again this year? Like he had a good time even working them. And I thought that was pretty cool. I know you weren't there for the playoffs, but it was quite a scene there for the playoffs and the Super Bowl. Exciting times ahead, Ira.
No question, and I think that's a reflection of how good a tipper I am, DeKemper. I've been known to put a salt buck down the Lee once in a blue moon.
Now, is that a guilt trip? Because, you know, let's face it, when you're around a dining establishment that has French fries, you're a human seagull.
Well, Lee, it's a double guilt trip because not only am I scarfing up your fries off your plate, which I've done many times, but Steve, also, I got people buying me food and drink. So, you know, I got to at least take care of the waiter, Steve.
Hey, Steve, get real quick. I want to explain how big of a celebrity Ira is. So Ira, the first day of practice, he was out there, and I guess Ira was chatting with one of the security guards near the media tent. And so the next day, I'm bouncing back and forth. I'm covering some plays. And I got to talking up one of the security guards as I was walking back on the field. He goes, hey, that guy that was here, the other guy from New York, guy from Brooklyn. What's his name? I've heard that guy before. I've heard that guy before. What TV show is he on? I said, well, he used to be on Channel 13. No, that's not it. And I said, well, he used to do radio. And when he asked me, doesn't do radio around here. I said, well, he used to, not anymore. He goes, well, and so I hear this guy. I see this guy all the time. I can't put a face on him. I said, well, do you watch the NFL Network? He goes, yeah. I said, he does a lot of those top 10 programs. Yeah, that's where I've seen him. And he started talking about the various shows that Ira's done for NFL films on, you know, they used to have a series of top 10 this, top 10 that, and Ira's a regular on there. And that's where he remembered seeing Ira.
I love how Lee prefaced that with, hey, this will tell you what kind of celebrity Ira is. I don't really know what that means, considering the guy didn't know who the hell he was. Ira, maybe he thought you were Roy Cummings.
You know, and speaking of that, guys, and here's something I'm looking forward to. You remember a few months ago I mentioned that I went to a place in South Tampa? NFL Films called me, and they're going to do a John Lynch up close and personal. And I don't know when they're going to do it, but it'll be this fall. And boy, they must have had me on there for about a half an hour. When I walked off, I said, you know, I'm going to be lucky to get 30 seconds of airtime on this 1 hour special. And the director goes, oh no, you're getting some time. You were outstanding. So I'm looking forward to that Lynch show. What's that? What do they call that thing again, Lee?
America's
1 hour show.
America's Game.
Not America's Game. Not America's Game. A football life.
Yes, that's football life.
That's what I was thinking. It just, the words didn't come out right. A football life. Oh, I'm sure you'll get plenty of time in there, Ira. That should be good. Hopefully you didn't have ketchup on your face. But I'm teasing you. I'm teasing you, Ira. Ira, I have been enjoying very much through training camp drinking Big Storm beer. It's just the perfect training camp beer. Sunny Key Lime. It's my new favorite. I don't think there's anything on first sip from Big Storm Brewery that's more refreshing than their Sunny Key Lime beer. There's so many great ones. Wavemaker Amber Ale, the Bromosa. Both of those are for sale in Sprouts stores now. So you can see them. I'm going to float a picture out there. But Big Storm Brewery, the tap rooms are in Odessa, Clearwater, that's their flagship location with the gorgeous outdoor seating, covered Amway Center in Orlando and Cape Coral. Big Storm beer, just drink it all the time. They keep growing in popularity because the beer is good. It's Florida's best craft beer. Big Storm is awesome. It's locally brewed. Get to bigstormbrewery.com. That's where you can find where it's being sold near you. So you don't have to go to the tap room if you're living in South St. Pete, and you want to pick up some Big Storm, just punch in your zip code. They'll tell you where to go get it in your neighborhood. It's a new website, redesigned, bigstormbrewery.com.
Get yourself a pint of Palm Bender, or just go to one of the Big Storm tap rooms. But that Palm Bender on tap is outstanding.
Hey, Sage, look, we got to remind everybody, as we heard before, first call, first phone call, just that simple. Don't call Lee, don't call Ira. You got a problem in your home, you got a leak, whatever it is, mold, fire, you call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately, floridaselite restoration.com. Check them out there and you will see what they are all about. But you've heard us talk before and earlier in the podcast, floridaselite restoration.com. Ira,
what are you trying to say here, Steve, that when you think of Ira and Lee, you think mold?
Guys, this was funny because Devin White, as we've talked about, he's the candid man at one buck. He's in the lead for most candid open Buccaneer right now. There's very little filter. I'm sure there's a little, but not much. And he very calmly said, and there was no hint that he was joking around. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. Doesn't really matter. He said, I think I'm a better pass rusher than those guys, referring to Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett. The context was that White was asked about, is getting double-digit sacks a goal of his and leading the team and, you know, having more than JPP and Shaq. And, and he talked about how it's not a goal, that he's just trying to be dominant, but he's very focused on being an incredible pass rusher when he's called upon. And he said, hey, if it comes with the flow of the game and I can get double-digit sacks, he'll be totally into it and totally fired up, but he's just focused on playing within the scheme. And I asked him, Ira, which is interesting. It's a question I've heard you ask before. So I sort of pulled a Sage Jr., whatever that means. And I asked him if he's been watching Dallas film and when did he start? And Devin White, Ira, said, no, Dallas film yet. focused on the Nuggets of training camp. That'll come later, and when the time comes, I'll dive into it.
You know, I love his enthusiasm. Lee, you do too. He backs up his talk, but as far as his pass rushing acumen, and he's pretty darn good from the inside linebacker position, very, very good. But Lee, I'm not going there. I'm not going ahead of Barrett and JPP. How dare you? How dare you, Mr. White? And I'll tell you why, Lee. I'll tell you why. Because there's an element of surprise, Lee. There's an element of surprise when White rushes the passer. Yeah, he doesn't do it on the majority of plays. He picks his spots, and Bowles is very good about it. But Lee, everybody knows that Barrett and Pierre Paul are coming, and they're prepared for them, and they still do a whale of a job, especially in the postseason. Barrett really turned it on. Just ask Pat Mahomes, right, Lee? So, you know, look, I'm not going to piss on White's enthusiasm. I love the fact that he's confident in his abilities. And look, Lee, I'm not shocked if a year or two from now he's considered the best linebacker in this league. I mean, I really wouldn't be shocked, especially inside linebacker in this league. But, you know, I think he's going too far when he's trying to put himself ahead of the Buck premier pass rushers, the edge guys. I think that's a bridge too far for me, Lee.
Well, Ira, you said it perfectly. When a linebacker blitzes, that's an element of surprise. That's an element of surprise. That's not what they're called to do, 40 snaps a game? Where JPP and Shaq, you know before you get down in your three-point stance as an offensive lineman, you know they're coming after the quarterback. You know. That's their job. That's not necessarily White's main responsibility.
Right.
But I will agree with you. If White plays like he did in the playoffs, there's no doubt in my mind he'll be the best linebacker in football. No doubt in my mind. If that's the way he plays. That, you know, he played good linebacker, but when he got to the playoffs after he got back from his COVID quarantine, he was on another level. Exceptional in the playoffs.
And Steve, you were on the Arians call, and I thought it was great when Arians said, thank you, media, you know, for saying that in the past, White, you know, had a long way to go in coverage. And, you know, Steve, I'll say it. I don't care. I don't care if anybody wants to criticize me for saying it. I think he was talking about Joe Buxman. I really do. First of all, I know that he's all over Joe Buxman. He's very aware of Joe Buxman. He reads it all the time. I dare say he listens to the podcast because he told me so. I think we're in the forefront of doing an honest assessment of White's strengths and weaknesses. For every, you know, 10 strengths, he's got one weakness, and it was coverage. But Lee, to be honest, he really improved in that area down the stretch. He did.
I mean, and let's be honest, it's not like we were making things up. I mean, you could argue objective, subjective. People not from Tampa were writing that was a weak point for White. And when White got that pick on Alvin Kamara in New Orleans, Sean Payton targeted Devin White. Sean Payton's not exactly Lovie Smith. He's a good offensive coach. I think anybody would agree with that assessment. And he targeted White. So you think Sean Payton would target a guy that he believes is dominant against fast? No.
I think Lee's right. That White pick, Steve. And Drew Brees does not throw picks. You know, this guy ain't Jameis Winston. And Steve, you watched that play 35 times, if not 80. And it was a tremendous read by White. And I don't think he could have made that play a year or two ago. He would not have made that play.
I can't go too crazy about that. I don't know about it. It was like something exceptional, but it showed his improvement in that area. And I think the improvement was necessary, and it came. I got to say this, and we'll go out on this, Ira. I'm going to give you a second here to think of some sort of rousing closing address. I need some sort of wisdom as we're ending July, Ira. You got to put something out to the people. But I will say this, and I think it's worth noting, and it's something I want to watch from Devin White. You know, those 2 weeks off, when you get 2 weeks off in January, like Devin White got, that played to his advantage. I understand that he had COVID, but he himself has said publicly that he wasn't sick. And for him to get fresh legs and be fired up and just shot out of a cannon to close the season like he was, that was kind of a special gift in some ways to the Bucks that time off. Same thing for Donovan Smith, who got a very late December game off when Josh Wells filled in. I think it was, he didn't test positive for COVID. He was a close contact. I mean, to give your veteran Ironman left tackle a day off late in the season like that. I mean, the Bucs got some breaks that fell their way with time off. Even Rojo being out and letting Leonard Fournette just be the man, which is what he was most comfortable with late in the season, and get his confidence and let him be playoff Lenny and ride it all the way through. I mean, they had a few breaks like that. And White, I really want to see him figure out that consistency all the way through what we hope is a 20-game season.
Steve, I want to thank you very much. Much appreciated for mentioning something about fresh legs, because that leads me right into my closing statement, Mr. DeKemper. Guess who had fresh legs this week? Yours truly on the treadmill for my annual nuclear stress test. Gentlemen, it couldn't have gone any better. You start off putting me on the scale. Mr. Kaufman, you're down 11 pounds. What's going on?
Yeah.
11. That's a big number, DeKemper. Remember that number. And I'm on my way to 20. I'm on my way to 20. I'm not stopping. I'm like Devin White. I want to keep getting better. Then, you know, they take the pictures. They put the IV in me. And now it's time for the treadmill, gentlemen. Starts off like a walk in the park. First 2 or 3 minutes, nice and slow. My mind's wandering. I'm thinking about the Bucks going 15-2. All of a sudden, the cardiologist presses a little button. All of a sudden, it's on an incline. It's ramping up. All of a sudden, I feel like I'm in a race with Vita Vea. I'm going to lose that race. And I'm running just to keep up and not to fall behind. And lo and behold, gentlemen, I passed last year's time. I went an extra 30 seconds. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Clean bill of health. You got the sage around, whether you like it or not, my listeners, my readers, and it was one hell of a day. And Steve, I had fresh legs. How do you like that?
All right, the podcast is over, but Ira's got a story. It's about Jackie Mason, the old comedian who just died. And of course, Ira's got a Jackie Mason story, so Lee sets him up. Here it is.
Ira, I need your feedback. This may be my favorite story of yours. Now, when it's not about the person. It's about Ira, and it's a story about Ira. It's not this person. Ira, a famous comedian, passed away this week.
That's right.
Jackie Mason.
Yes.
Can you tell your listeners the time I was with you and your wife and Roy Cummings in New York when you ran into Jackie Mason on the street and the conversation that entailed?
You know, it really was startling. We get out of Penn Station. And I think we're walking on 6th Avenue, my wife and I. Sun's shining. We're back in our old stomping grounds. We're going to go see a Broadway show that night. And all of a sudden, I see a 5'7" guy, eye level with me, walking with a woman. He's getting closer. You know, it's like, 44th Street or something. And I say to my wife, I think that's Jackie Mason. She goes, come on, you're kidding me. Well, they get pretty close to us, and I said, how you doing, Jackie? Just like that. Classic sage. And he noticed the Brooklyn accent, of course, and stopped him in his tracks. Stopped him right in his tracks, stopped in the middle of the street, passers-by zooming past him. Nobody recognizes him, but I do. And we start talking, and I tell him, hey, I saw you in Tampa 3 years ago at the Improv, and oh, yeah, how'd you like the show? Tremendous, Jackie. You still got it. And we're having this conversation. We didn't talk about the time he gave Ed Sullivan the finger on national television and never was invited back to the Ed Sullivan show. That's a very famous story about Jackie Mason. Yeah, he had a 6-minute comedy routine that night on the Ed Sullivan show, and they were running late. And so the producer started saying, throwing his finger out like, cut it down. And he gave the finger back to the guy. And then Sullivan was standing right there. He never appeared on the show again. Well, anyway, we have a nice conversation. And then Mason points to a building 2 blocks down and he looks up, he points to the 20th floor. He goes, hey, we're having lunch up there. Why don't you come up and join us? I can't do it, Mr. Mason. We're in a hurry. Oh my God. What a character.
He's one of the all-timers. One of the all-timers.
Only Ivor would get invited to a comedian's apartment. Just random crossing of paths.
I turned out a pastrami sandwich. It's unbelievable.
You should have gone, Ira. You should have gone.